This is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley of TVWorthWatching.com, sitting in for Terry Gross. Marianne Faithfull has a new CD called Easy Come, Easy Go, on which she records cover versions of songs by other artists. It's her 22nd album, the latest in a career that began in the 1960s. Her first record was the 1964 hit As Tears Go By, written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones.
It is the evening of the day. I sit and watch the children play.
Faithfull was 17 when that record was released. At 18, she was married and became a mother. When she was 19, she began an affair with Mick Jagger and lived in the middle of the British Invasion celebrity party scene. But by 1970, she and Jagger had split up. By then, she had become addicted to heroin. At her low point, she lived on the street. She started recording again in the late 70s, and her voice was no longer the pure, innocent, uninflected voice of As Tears Go By. In the past couple of decades, she's been singing many original songs, as well as songs by Kurt Vile and others. Her new album of covers features her interpretations of everything from Randy Newman's In Germany Before the War to the Duke Ellington standard Solitude. Here's the opening track from her CD, Down from Dover, which was written by Dolly Parton.
I know this dress I'm wearing doesn't hide the secret I've tried concealing. When he left, he promised me that he'd be back by the time it was revealed. The sun behind a cloud just cast a crawling shadow o'er the fields of clover. And time is running out for me. I wish that he would hurry back from gone so long. When he left, the snow was deep upon the ground. And I have seen the spring and summer pass, and now the leaves are turning brown. And any time a tiny face will show itself, 'cause waiting's almost over. But I won't have a name to give it if he doesn't hurry back from Dover.
That's music from the new Marianne Faithfull recording, Easy Come, Easy Go. Terry spoke with Marianne Faithfull twice, in 1994 and 2005. We'll start with their 2005 conversation.
Your voice is very different from the way it was at the start of your career.
Well, obviously. Mine was always, you know, I studied singing at school when I was young. And my singing teacher used to say to me in hushed tones, you know, you have a soprano now, but I think if you're very, very lucky, it will become a contralto.
Why did your teacher think that that would be good luck if it
did? Well, it's a very rare thing to have. It's Kathleen Ferrier. You know, there are very few real contraltos. And I'm one of them.
I don't know what you'll make of this, but I think of you as being similar to Billie Holiday and Lottie Lenya, as having great singers whose voices were very different at the beginning and end of their careers.
Of course. But that's partly technical, like I told you. But it's also experience. It's, in my case, I mean, thank you very much for comparing me in any way with my great heroines, Billie Holiday and Lotte Lenya. But in my case, and I'm sure in their case, you know, a lot of it is down to experience. You get the voice you really want. You get what I suppose a writer would call it, finding my voice.
Was there anything that you missed about that pure soprano that you had? You know, the high notes or that...
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, if I hadn't been discovered by Andrew Alderman, gone into the pop business, I would have probably either become an actress or I might have gone to the Royal Academy of Music in London and I could have sung Mozart. I would have enjoyed that. But on the other hand, you know, I kind of... it was very exciting to be in at the beginning of a new thing, which is what was happening in London in the early 60s. And I was right there.
You know, it's interesting, like As Tears Go By, which is your famous first hit, you're singing in an almost uninflected voice.
That's what Andrew wanted.
That's what he wanted. Why? This is Andrew Luke Oldham, who was your producer, and he was the Rolling Stones producer.
He was my manager.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. And I suppose he was the producer, too, yeah.
So why did he want it uninflected?
I don't know. I think he wanted me to sound like Mick.
Huh.
I really don't know. You'd have to ask Andrew.
It's so interesting because there's so much drama in your singing now.
Well, yeah, but that's my natural thing. Maybe I didn't have that yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you mentioned that...
I was only 17.
Right, right.
I don't think I had any.
Any drama?
No, and I was terribly, terribly nervous. So probably the natural thing I did was just sort of do what I do when I'm very frightened, is pretend I'm very small and stay very still and do as little as possible.
Now, you mentioned that La Dolena is one of your music heroes.
Mm.
So I thought maybe we could listen to a recording in which you sing Kurt Weill.
Mm.
And you made a recording. You've done a lot of Kurt Weill.
I've done two records
of
the Brecht Weill canon. The first one was the Cabaret record, which was 20th Century Blues, which I love. But my actual total favorite of all time is The Seven Deadly Sins. But play something from 20th Century Blues. Play Pirate Jenny. I like Pirate Jenny because it's so fierce.
And Paul Trueblood is at the piano, and he sounds
Paul
great
Trueblood
with you.
Is such a great musician.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so lucky to work with him. And I'm very fond of him.
Well, let's go for the drama and hear Pirate Jenny. And this is from Marianne Faithfull's album 20th Century Blues with Paul Trueblood at the piano.
You lads see me wash the glasses, wipe the floors, make the beds. I'm the best of servants. You can kindly throw me pennies and I thank you very much. And you see me ragged and tattered in this dirty hotel. You don't know in hell who's talking. You still don't know in hell who's talking. Yet one fine day there will be roars from the harbour, and you'll ask what is all that screeching for. And you'll see me smiling as I dunk the glasses, and you'll say, what's she got to smile at for? And the ship, eight sails shining, 55 cannons wide, sir, waits there at the quay. You say, work on, wipe the glasses, my girl, and just slip me a dirty...
Marianne Faithfull, how were you introduced to the music of Kurt Weill?
Well, I sort of grew up with it, you know. Both my parents... I don't know how they did it. I don't know how my mother did this. But she brought 78s with her from Vienna. And a lot of the songs on 20th Century Blues are my mother's favourite songs or my father's favourite songs. Like, my father's favourite song was Falling in Love Again.
Huh.
And he loved Cole Porter and he loved all sorts of things like that. Yeah.
So is that like the first music you heard?
I suppose it is, yes, yeah.
Was your mother a singer? I had read that she...
No. My mother was a dancer.
Oh.
She was very young, of course, and she was only 24 when Mr. Hitler marched into Vienna in the Anschluss, but she was a dancer in Berlin. And she, as she would be coming into the theatre to rehearse as the corps de ballet for Mr. Reinhardt, would see Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht staggering out in the morning, having been up all night writing the Threepney opera. And they would all bob a little curtsy and say, "Guten Morgen, Mr. Weill. Guten Morgen, Mr. Brecht."
When you were growing up, did she have, like, clothes from her costumes from when she danced in the closet?
Not much, no. I just have a very beautiful piece of chiffon and some beads. I have very little. She didn't bring any of that much with her. No, I don't know what happened to it. It's as if she wanted to leave it all behind and have a new life. She'd had quite a hard time, I think, during the war. My grandmother was Jewish, you know, and she met my father was a spy. I mean, it's so incredible, it's amazing. And she was his contact in Vienna. So it was really, I think she was really happy to marry my father and get out. Unfortunately, of course, the marriage was a disaster. But
well, I think they separated when you were six or something, right?
Yes.
And then you lived with your mother.
I did, yes.
At what point did you start getting to know the, and I assume that you did at some point, the Andy Warhol factory crew?
I didn't.
You never knew them?
No, I never did.
It just seems to me you'd have connected at some point.
Never. Never, 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 never. I went to New York once with Andrew. And what I did do was meet up with Al Grossman and Bobby Newhouse. And it was the time when Bob Dylan had had his motorbike accident. And I think I had my first joint with Bobby Newhouse. And I was up all night being sick.
From the joint?
Mm-hmm. I was 18.
Right.
Just wasn't able, didn't know anything. Just couldn't deal with it.
So, you know, I'm wondering what you thought, because you must have been aware of this, whether you knew the Velvet Underground personally or not.
Oh, I thought they were wonderful.
Yeah.
But I had a sense of self-preservation, which told me, do not go to New York. You will die.
Right, because you'd get so deep into it.
It would have been another Edie Sedgwick. You know, it was quite bad enough in London, if I may say so. But, I mean, it would have been too much for me.
What did you make of it when the Velvet Underground recorded Venus and Furs?
And I didn't really think about it.
I ask this in case our listeners are confused. My
great-great uncle,
yes,
was Baron Leopold von Sacher-Masoch, who gave his name to masochism and wrote a book called Venus and Furs. Yeah, I mean, I sort of noticed it but didn't really notice it. There were other songs on the Velvet Underground that I thought were better. I didn't think that was one of the best. I'm a huge, and was always a huge fan of Andy Warhol. I mean, before I got discovered and all that stuff happened, my mother took me to see a huge Andy Warhol retrospective at the Tate. I went to see the Picasso retrospective. I went to see the Surrealist retrospective. It was wonderful, you know. I had a wonderful life before all that stuff happened.
Marianne Faithfull speaking with Terry Gross in 2005. We'll hear another of Terry's interviews with Marianne Faithfull after a break. This is Fresh Air. Marianne Faithfull has a new CD, Easy Come, Easy Go. Terry also spoke to Marianne Faithfull in 1994 after the publication of her autobiography. It told about her music career, her affair with Mick Jagger, and the heroin addiction that nearly killed her. During their earlier conversation, Terry asked Marianne Faithfull how she met Mick Jagger.
So tell us the story of how you met Mick Jagger.
Well, I went along to a party with my first boyfriend, John Dunbar, who was a friend of Peter and Gordon. And Paul McCartney was going out with Jane Asher. It's so hard to remember all these things. And somehow, John was always up for a party. And especially then, when we were very young. I mean, I was 17. And he must have been 19, you know, 19, 20, no more. But, you know, it was just a party. But it was a dead glam party, I suppose, even for London. And it was a lot of fun, I suppose, yes.
In your memoir, you reprint a press release that was written for when As Tears Go By was released. And it says, Marianne Faithfull is the little 17-year-old blonde who still attends a convent in Reading, daughter of the Baroness Orisso. She is lissome and lovely with long blonde hair.
Lots of alliteration in this press release, yeah. Isn't there?
Yes. A shy smile and a liking for people who are long-haired and socially conscious. Marianne digs Marlon Brando, Woodbine cigarettes, poetry, going to the ballet, and wearing long evening dresses. She is shy, wistful, waif-like. Now, what did you think of that image of yourself?
I thought it was a hoot. I never in my wildest dreams thought that people would think I was like that. Although I did dig Marlon Brando. That's true. And I was at a convent. And my mother was a baroness. But apart from that... But then again, you know, I can't be too sort of sticky about this because... it's quite obvious that we none of us really see ourselves as others see us.
Now you ended up doing a lot of drugs, doing a lot of heroin. How did you start doing heroin?
I used it as a coping mechanism, I think.
For coping with what?
For coping with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked for a while, but it did have a tremendous drawback. Which was that it was addictive and it would kill you.
How long did it take you to figure that out?
Ages. Very long time. But I did figure it out eventually, thank God.
Now, I want to play a song that you wrote the lyrics for called Sister Morphine.
Mm.
That was released in England in 1969. Tell me a little bit about where you were in your life when you wrote the song and what the lyrics are about.
I don't know. It's a very weird thing about Sister Morphine because, you know, it was knocking about the house for 6 months. Mick was playing it all the time.
Playing the melody.
Playing the basic thing. Da, 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 that thing all the time. So it went into my sort of whole sort of nervous system, blood, burns, whatever, everything. I really had it in my I knew it by heart, let's say that anyway. And then I remember it, and I'm sure Mick does too. It was very peculiar. I just sat down, picked up a legal pad and a pencil and wrote it out, you know. And there it was.
Why don't we hear Sister Morphine? This is Marianne Faithfull, recorded in 1969. Marianne Faithfull is my guest, and she's written an autobiography called Faithfull. The record company, Decca, you say yanked this record about 2 days after it was released.
It off the shelves.
What was their objection?
Well, there were many. The lyrics were very ahead of their time. It's one thing for Lou Reed to sing heroin, obviously. It was completely... This is something I really didn't understand, that this thing about me being this beautiful little angel was real. I never really believed that. I couldn't believe it. So I suppose for Decca, you know, the last thing they put out by Marianne Faithfull, I can't remember what it was Summer Nights, say. I think it was. That was in 1965. And then in 1969, they're given Sister Morphine. And they couldn't handle it.
Marianne Faithfull, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Terry. It was a pleasure.
Marianne Faithfull speaking with Terry Gross in 1994. Marianne Faithfull's new CD, Easy Come, Easy Go, has just been released. I'm David Biancooley, and this is Fresh Air.